Hey guys, how's it going? Thanks for tuning in. If you don't know who I am Michael, and I am one of the pastors at Alliance Community Church, and we are so thankful that you are tuning in to our series on Spirit Rising. And today, I have the opportunity about talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. But first, I just want to talk quickly about straight up power. So one time, when I was with my friends at Thetis Island, there was this llama that was there. And this llama was protected by an electric fence. Not sure if it was for the llama or for us. But one of the things we would often do is grab the fence and then grab a friend's hand and we would electrocute them because it was funny. One of my friends thought it would be funny if he then also grabbed the wire while I was grabbing the wire. We quickly learned that was a very bad idea, and I gotta tell you, I think that was the most energetic and energized I had ever been in my entire life. But that's what power's kinda like. And today, when we look at the Holy Spirit, there's this other word I know of called FOMO. If you've never heard it, it means fear of missing out. I don't want anybody to miss out on what the Holy Spirit has for you in your life. Hear what Jesus had to say about the Holy Spirit. In John 14:12, this is what he says. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And then he continues later on in Luke 24:49, this is what he says. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed in power from on high. So here's the story jump. Jesus is telling him as he's going to the Father, and now he is actually going to go, and he's promising these gifts. And then in Acts 1, Jesus says it again, I'm going to the Father. And in Acts 2, this is now probably, this is 50 days after Jesus has risen from the dead now, because it's 40 days he was with them, and then it's about 10 days that they went into the upper room and were praying. And when the Holy Spirit comes, all of the sudden, there is this power that comes into the room. They say it's like the wind is shaking the place. All of the sudden, there's like tongues of fire around them. And they go out and everything has changed once the Holy Spirit has come. But what I'm trying to say is this. That Jesus makes this great advertisement for the one who is coming. He's talking about the Holy Spirit's coming. And it's like an advertisement. And when Jesus makes an advertisement for something, I don't think it falls short of the words that he says. Unlike when we listen to a Febreze commercial that says, three times the cleaning power. I'm still confused of what is it comparing itself to. But Jesus makes this claim about the Holy Spirit's coming. And I use the word FOMO to say, I don't want you to miss out on what Jesus was telling us is his promise. These are things, what we're going to talk about today, are promises that we get from the Holy Spirit. And the one thing I want you to keep in your mind is this. The Holy Spirit gives us strength to live in a way we could not live otherwise. I'll say it one more time. The Holy Spirit gives us strength to live in a way we could not otherwise. Holy Spirit makes all the difference right from the get-go in Acts, right when he comes. Big difference comes into their lives. And I just want to share with you five ways that that the Holy Spirit comes and makes a difference in our lives right now. This isn't a question. When the Holy Spirit comes and he moves in power, these are things I guarantee he does. The first is this. He gives us power to live righteous lives. Now, what do I mean when I say that? C.S. Lewis says this, no man knows how bad he is until he's tried really hard to be good. Only those who try to resist temptation know how strong it is. I have to tell you, when you look at the world around you, to what moral values are, they're quickly depleting from what the Christian value says it is. And as the world moves that direction, it's truly becoming a work of the Holy Spirit that stands out, that when He comes and He helps us become righteous, He comes and He convicts us and slowly tells us things. I mean, if the Lord were to convict me about all the things I do wrong in my life the first day I came to know Him, that would be a huge load to carry. But slowly, as I've gotten to know Jesus and have gone deeper in the Spirit, He has given me power to live in the right way that is in accordance to God's Word. And it's still a journey. I'm still a far from perfect man. I still look at some of my days. Even yesterday, I just go, oh man, I wish I didn't say that. But the Holy Spirit, He's there and He's going, I agree with you, Michael. Gently correcting me, giving me the strength to live differently. So He gives us the power to live a righteous life. But two is this, and this is a radical one too. The power to live in love and forgiveness. Now I gotta tell you that these words might seem easy to you, but I have to tell you, to live by the words of 1 Corinthians 13 every day, I have to tell you, is too great a load for anybody to carry. In fact, I would even say it's not possible for any single person to live out 1 Corinthians 13 without the power of the Holy Spirit. And a word tied into that is the word forgiveness. The ability to live in love and forgiveness. I've got this crazy story. There was this missionary couple. They took their family overseas. And I don't want to go into too many details. But as soon as they got there, over in Africa, the family was martyred for the faith. When they showed up, literally that week, the whole family was murdered, except for the mom. And the company that she had, or the organization she had gone over with, messaged her the week she got there and said, do you want to come home? And she prayed about it and she said, no, I still believe that we are called here. And so she stayed. And what came about from her staying was this radical revival that took place over in Africa. And a few years down the road of her continuing to be there and have led thousands to Christ, one night they were holding this revival at this tent. And she was preaching on the great love of Jesus that exists in her heart, that is available to all people. And while she's sharing this, there was a man standing at the back of the tent. And he comes running forward. And he falls at the feet of this woman. And he says, I'm so grateful that you talk about this great love and this forgiveness that exists for all. Because I'm the man who took your family from you. And the woman stared at this man. And anger filled her right to the top of her head. But as she stood there, she fell to her knees and she said, I forgive you, and began to weep. And she felt the love of Jesus come over her and she led that man to Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but that is a radically powerful story of what only God can do. Only God has that ability to make us stare our enemies in our face and say, I love you. Not only I love you, what you did to my family, I forgive you. That is power of the Holy Spirit. And there was no way to do that any other way than through the Holy Spirit. So God gives us the ability to live by the way of love and forgiveness. But not only that, God gives us the ability, number three, a spirit of boldness. Luckily, Jim last week, if you got to tune in, he talked about we don't have to have a spirit of fear anymore. And 1 Timothy 2:7 says this, for the Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. As soon as the disciples received the Holy Spirit, Apostle Peter, who prior to all this had denied Jesus, ran from Him. Upon receiving the Holy Spirit, he heads downstairs and begins to speak in a way that he has never spoken before when the Spirit falls on him. And he speaks boldly. Keep in mind, guys, he only had the first 39 books of the Bible. He didn't have the New Testament. He was piecing together the Old Testament, proclaiming who Jesus was and speaking in the power of the Spirit. And it says at the end of that day, he led 3,000 became Christians that day. That is a work of the Holy Spirit moving in boldness. But this boldness also has to do with the driving out of fear, because the Spirit of God drives out fear. Perfect love drives out fear. And this is my personal story. When I was living in Linden doing my internship, I had a number of nights in a row where an evil spirit would come and bother me in evening. Sometimes it would almost just feel like he was, whatever it was running across my legs. But some days it felt like the spirit was choking me. And I don't know what to tell you, but that's not a fun feeling when you feel powerless to the spirit around you. But what I did know is that I could call on the name of Jesus, and every time I did, that spirit would leave. Now, what I would also add to that is that I was living in a way that was allowing evil spirits to come after me. I was living in some sin. But I still had a dream, and I called my dad about it, and he said, "Michael, just continue to rebuke this thing." And one night I had this dream, and I was standing outside this dark room, and I felt like I had to walk into this room. But inside this dark room was these dark eyes, and they were staring at me. And the second I stepped into that room, I fell to the ground completely powerless to the darkness that surrounded me and was staring at me in this dream. I don't know if you've ever felt this afraid in your life, but I felt so cowardice I couldn't move my muscles. There felt no strength in me. In that room, I began to hear a voice saying, "Stand. Stand." And it took every ounce of strength within me to begin to push myself up. And that voice continued to say, "Stand up. Stand up, Michael." And eventually I got to standing in a posture where I was almost like pumping my chest out. And in the midst of this dark room, with everything staring at me, I was able to stand tall. And after that, my thought of the dark presences that exist in our world was beaten. Because all of a sudden I realized the authority the Holy Spirit had, that Jesus has over the dark realm of our world. And I could call on the name of Jesus, and that He would come and He would save me. And the reason is, Jesus walks with me. No longer the fears that stand in front of me have to scare me, because I know who is with me. Just like David and Goliath. David wasn't afraid of the giant in front of him because he knew who was with him. The power of the Holy Spirit is greater than my greatest fears and bigger than any of the fears that you could have too. So God gives us a spirit of boldness and a spirit to drive away fear. We don't have to live at fear anymore. And fourth is this. God gives us a spirit, gives us the power of revelation and understanding. John 16:13 says this: "The Spirit of God will guide you into all truth." Now, when you open the Bible, a lot of people say, "I don't know where to start reading. It doesn't say anything to me. It feels like an old book." I have to tell you, compared to all of the books, there's no book that's ever been written like the Bible, because it is exactly God's word, and it has the ability to bring revelation. All of a sudden, you could have read the same passage 100 times. But all of a sudden, today when you're reading it, something new jumps off the page that's never jumped off the page at you before. And God just reveals it to you. Another good book that was written about this is actually Pilgrim's Progress. In the opening chapters of the book, it talks about as he finds the Book of Life, he reads it and he just can't get enough. God's word soaks in our soul and brings new revelation. It renews our mind, helps us think and see the world as we ought to and not how we think we should. God brings us revelation through His Holy Spirit. He will reveal all truth to us, but it's through the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's only through Him. And the fifth way is this. God gifts the church with the spiritual gifts. And you can go and find those in Ephesians 4, Romans 12, and 1 Corinthians 12. But He's given these gifts to bless the church, to bless the world, that you might get to be a part of God's work, but as well to bless others. In Matthew 10:8, it's words that you just can't get away from. It says this: "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." Now that's radical things to say, and almost feels like I need a way to describe it away. But I have to tell you, we got to go to the scriptures and ask the Spirit to reveal the truth about these words. Some people have worked really hard to find a theology around describing that. Maybe that was only for them. It's not for today. But the one argument I just quickly want to throw your way is that it's written in the Bible. And I believe God still does this is because God just as much today wants to reach the world as he did then. And that has not changed one bit. And the Holy Spirit has not changed. The Spirit of Jesus has not changed. And so God's desire is that we would raise our expectations to believe in that these words are actually true, that God does want to use our hands to heal the sick. Now, I've got empty hands. I have nothing within me that has power. There's nothing of Michael that has power. But the Holy Spirit who indwells me, who lives in me, can fill me with power to go and do these things. But do we actually believe that these words are true? Do you actually believe when you go and read Galatians 5:22, where it says that the fruit of the Spirit, meaning what comes with the Spirit, promise, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, and gentleness. Those are promises of the fruit of the Spirit. That's what comes with the Spirit. But some of us struggle with some of these words. We go, well, I'm not very patient. I'm not very gentle. I'm not very kind. The Spirit brings these things. And we can rise our expectation to say, even if I have not yet experienced that, it is of His Spirit that I will receive these things. Because, like I said, it is only by the Spirit that we can live a different way. There's no other way to break through personality, break through character, other than by allowing the Holy Spirit in. We got to let Him in to do these things. So I just want to jump back now to talking about the gifts of the church. God has poured out His gifts upon the church to bless the church, to bless the world. Even when it comes to my role as being a pastor, I can try and do it without the power of the Spirit, but it would be worthless. But as the Spirit empowers me, it gives me ability to go into the world and live as He's called me to. And God has gifted each person who's in the body with gifts to bless the world and bless the church. And if you don't know what your gifting is, I would challenge you to ask God, because He pours out His gifts. Apostle Paul tells us to pray for the gifts eagerly. Eagerly pray for the gifts. To go and bless others and the church. And He wants people to know who He is. He wants people to know who He is. He wants the Spirit to be seen. But when you look at Acts 19, listen to this. This is a crazy one. Paul's handkerchief healed the sick. Just the touching of his handkerchief. This seems radical. But Paul understood how authority worked, that the Holy Spirit could work through anything. People were healed through his handkerchief. People in Acts 5 were just trying to get into the shadow of Peter. And it said, at the end of the all they prayed for were healed. Do we believe what is being said in these pages? Or what do we think about them? Because it's radical. This is not what I would say we look at and go, this is a normal day-to-day thing. When someone would see this, they would say, something is happening. And I want that to be the description when people look at our church, when they look at your life. That's what they see. Look at how different they are. And the reminder is this. All these five things I just said is because of the Holy Spirit's power that can live within us. Now, what I want to say is upon receiving Jesus quickly is we are indwelt with His presence. God comes and He lives within us. But here what we're talking about is as well being filled. And we can do things to not walk in step with what God has. And the words used in Scripture would be to quench the Spirit. Now, when we live in sin and we don't obey God's word, we're not walking in step with His Spirit, and we create almost like a disconnect for Him to be able to walk with us and walk in the power that He has for us. But He has that for you. He has it for us, but we got to not quench the Spirit by living in the way of sin. But how can we? How can we then receive this power? Because I know some of us can look at our lives and we go, man, I'm not filled with joy. I don't enjoy waking up in the morning. Every day is a struggle. I'm not patient with my family. Fear not. Do not lose heart, because I'm telling you, these are the promises of what God has for you. And this is how I believe we can receive these things. This isn't like a perfect how-to steps, but this is what I've seen is critical in this. One is raise your expectations, what you believe God can do, which is faith. What kind of faith do you believe that the Holy Spirit can do in your life? Do you believe that He has the ability to penetrate your personality, your character? Do you believe that being filled with God's, with the Holy Spirit is only for special people? It's a deluxe, or is just an added part to Christianity? Because if that's the case, we got to throw that out, because this is for all believers. This isn't for just some or the special or for the pastor. This is for everybody. So we got to believe that being filled with the Spirit is not abnormal, but normal. And we got to read these words. And if you don't believe me when I'm saying these things, I say go search the Scriptures yourself. Let the Word of God reveal itself to you, because I'm taking words from Scriptures here. And then seeing the testimonies of what's come from people who have lived it out. So I believe we've got to raise our faith expectation, what we believe the Holy Spirit can do. And to go with that is this. Apply every effort that's in your body. This is what 2 Peter 1, 5 and 6 says. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to your goodness knowledge, and to your knowledge self-control, and to your self-control perseverance. Now when we hear the word effort, often people can throw up flags immediately, because they go, whoa, 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 are you saying that I can earn my salvation? Not for a second. That is not at all what I'm saying. But what I am saying is I can partner with God in becoming holy, in the sense of I can say, God, this is my life. This is what I have to do. Take it. Work with it to make me look more like you. It takes effort to wake up early in the morning and say, I'm going to read my Bible. It takes effort to listen and obey God's word. And when I fall out of step, I get up and I get back in step with Him. But it takes effort. When we hear the word cease striving, some people have taken that to mean do nothing and wait for God to do everything. And I got to tell you, I think that's a very poor interpretation of that. When Jesus speaks of the farmer who goes out and sows his seeds, He says the farmer who waits for, prays for rain and then waits and does nothing and waits for the rain to come, he doesn't get to see it. But the farmer who goes and he sows his seed and expects what God is going to do, then there's something that comes. But he's putting in every effort. Now, what I can't say will come from your effort is the outcome. I don't know what will come as we put in effort. I've stepped out in faith before and haven't seen the miracles come. But if I never step out at all, how could I ever see those things? How can I ever have breakthrough in my life if I'm not working to partner with God? Colossians 3:23, it says, work at it. Do not work as if you work for human masters, but instead work as if you're working for the Lord. Everything that you've got, work at it for God, including character, including what God has given you to do with your hands. Do it that somebody looks at your craftsmanship and says, this is excellent. This is excellent. God gives us the power to do that. But we got to partner with Him. We got to walk in step with Him. One of the words that I believe ties into this is this idea of a relentless spirit. The idea of not quitting. That's what I think of when I think of don't lose effort. One of the things I've prayed over my little girl that we have is that she would have a relentless spirit. And that's a scary prayer for me, because what if she gets relentless about the wrong thing? What if she chases hard after something that's not of God? I could spend my time dwelling on that, or I could fix my eyes on this idea of praying that she relentlessly chases after God with all that she has. And what will come of her life? A person who is fully committed to Jesus. When I look at the things that God's doing over in Iran, I get excited. You read about these stories of these women who are transforming the world over there for Jesus. I think of that. And so I pray that my own daughter would have a heart like that, that would chase after God to win the world for Christ, to glorify His name. So we got to partner with God. We got to give Him our effort, not be bystanders. And the final piece that ties in to what I believe we have to do not the final piece. This is the second final piece. But it's this. The word intimacy. If we seek God for power, we miss out on what God really desires for us. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." God wants us to know Him. God wants us to have relationship with Him. He wants us to be intimate with Him. It's just having, if my life is in shambles, but I have the intimacy with my Jesus, with my God, is that enough? If I changed my desire of trying to know God that I might have power and the blessings of what the Holy Spirit brings, but not have intimacy, why would I want to exchange that? Because the whole purpose of life is to know God. It's to know Him. So we got to seek Him for just His presence. Seek Him and get to know Him. And while you do, all of these things about Him rises up. It comes to the forefront. All religions in the world have this idea of working to get your way to God. Christianity is different. Christianity says that Jesus came and did it all. Jesus did it. Christianity is about relationship. Having intimacy with God brings us closer together, brings us in better alignment with God's will to walk in step with Him day by day. When you read in Acts 3 about Peter and John stopping at the gate called Beautiful to pray for that guy, how many days did they walk by that same guy? But that day they stopped. They knew the Holy Spirit was leading them to pray for that guy. Power of the Holy Spirit. The final piece I wanted to leave you guys with is this. This idea of how to receive it is in surrender. God needs access for Him to bring change. He needs access to all of our hearts. You see, if I continue to hold on to control, I will always have fear and anxiety over my situation. If I hold to fear, I will always have fear. If I hold to anger, then bitterness will take root. If I hold to the things of the world, I will reap the things of this world. Jesus is saying and asking us to say, surrender it all. You want access to this, the way that Jesus advertises who the Holy Spirit is and what He brings. And if our experience of the Holy Spirit is not this, we can either lower what we think of the Holy Spirit, say that Jesus' advertisement of what He's bringing is lesser, or I got to raise up my bar of what I believe He can do and start to say, well, what's in the way of me being able to receive these things? Because God wants to give it, but if I have fear, how can He take it? When you look at your life, what is there that He's saying, oh, I just wish You would let that go. I wish they would just lay that before Me at My feet. A.W. Tozer says this, all these things I say, talking about the Holy Spirit here, most of us have grown up with a theology about it, but we are still as empty as ever, tired as ever, and joyless as ever. If those words sink deep in your heart while you hear this, I say, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart for a second, because guess what? It's a promise of the Holy Spirit that He says He can fill you with these things. But it starts with surrender. Surrendering that portion of your life that you've been holding on to, saying, God, I'll give You all my life, just not this portion. Receiving the power of the Holy Spirit comes at a cost, and it's this, the surrendering of our life and the things in our life and saying, God, I exchange my ways for Your ways. I give up my pride to live by Your way. I give up my things to live Your way. And then we get to experience 2 Corinthians 3:17, which says this, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. God wants to come and bring freedom to all of your life. Isn't that a joyous thought to think about, being completely free? Being able to put your head down at night, not having a worry in the world, not being concerned, being able to wake up with the joy of the Lord? What if I told you that's the reality we can always live with? Because that's what comes from being filled with the Spirit. But it's a journey. We walk every day. We wake up every day. And some days are a real grind to walk in step with Him. But these promises still exist. And they still exist for us. But when you pray the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, give us our day, our daily bread." When the Spirit gives you just enough for today, are you okay with just enough for today? Because sometimes that's all we're going to receive for that day. We're always going to receive enough for today. But are you okay with just receiving just enough? Because I have to tell you, in my own life, I want that crazy encounter when the Spirit falls like He did on me in grade 9 and when I was 16. I want those encounters in my life where His presence is so apparent, so thick that it moves me to tears. It moves me to just want to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." I want those moments. But am I okay with my daily bread? Because God gives both. I can guarantee you this, that He gives you the daily bread enough for today. Do you believe those words? Because I would tell you, raise your expectations to know that God will meet you. He will meet you in that place. Now I just want us to do a quick exercise, because some of us still have funny feelings about the Holy Spirit. But what I want to do is to get us all, close your eyes. Close your eyes. And I just want you to do this experiment of listening with me. If Jesus were physically standing beside you in the room, how would you react? And what would you ask Him? You're standing in the room there with Him. What do you ask Him? What's He like? Is He concerned about what's happened in your life? Is He worried? Do you think He could heal the wounds? If Jesus was standing in the room with you, would you ask Him to heal those wounds? Whether it's mental illness, whether it's a physical ailment, whether it's a financial issue. If you were to ask Him about that, what would He say? What if I were to tell you that this promised Holy Spirit is in the room? You, when you picture Jesus standing there with you, the Holy Spirit is with you. That if you felt something in Him, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is always with you, holding your hand, sitting in your heart. And He wants to meet you where you are. Are you willing to surrender whatever it is that holds you back? Are you willing to raise your expectation in what you believe that God has for you? Because He has so much more. And I want the advertisement of what Jesus said to be the reality of my life. I want it to be the reality of your life. Because boy, oh boy, that sounds invigorating. It sounds so amazing that I don't want anything other than what Jesus is promising us here. I can't promise what my life will be like, but I can promise the things that He says that I can have in my heart. Because the Holy Spirit gives us strength to live in a way that we could not any other way. Only through His power. It's only through the Holy Spirit who gives us that strength. Well, as we close today, I just want to say that God loves you and He sits with you and He sees you. And I pray that you take faith and believe that these things are for you and that He truly loves you. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank You that Your Spirit is here, that You sit in each home, that You are with them, that the family struggling with anxiety where it feels like a marriage is about to fall apart, Lord, You see that and You care. And You sit and You hold them, Lord. Thank You that You are the comforter. Lord, I thank You that You are the promised peace bringer. So I pray peace over people's homes. I pray joy over people's homes. I pray awareness of Your presence. Thank You for Your word, Lord Jesus. I thank You for each person who's tuning in today, Lord Jesus. I just pray You bless them and You be with them. Fill us with Your power, Lord. Thank You for Your promised words of what Your Holy Spirit brings. Thank You that You make us live differently through Your Spirit, that there is no other way that we could do it.